get ready, because we are getting down to business on Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM, KABA.
Welcome back to Getting Down to Business. I'm Dave Weatherholtz. We've been talking with David Taylor, Sugar Sled, and not Snow Sled, but Sugar Sled Creative. We're going to, actually, we have Amanda Cullen on the line who's going to join us today. And welcome to Getting Down to Business. You've been here before, so you're kind of familiar with it. But
Thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for being here. But we've been talking about the traditional 4 P's, kind of a traditional classic definition of marketing, the 4 P's, and have moved into the area of, has the Internet impacted or changed the 4 P's? And, Dave has been talking about a little bit about, how that impacts our businesses. We're going to have you, Amanda, kind of talk about maybe a little bit of the national, branding. Has that changed with the Internet? What changes do you see kind of nationally?
Well, yeah, it certainly has. I thought it was very interesting when you and David were talking about the place and that the Internet is a place, and David brought up some examples. I just wrote an article, for the August issue of your newsletter all about web design, and there are some examples of some really bad web pages. And David's completely right that if you're going to have a website presence, if you're going to be on the Internet, you have to really consider how that fits with your brand. And how the Internet has really changed how customers view things is that customers now know they have more knowledge than ever, and often that they have more knowledge about your products than your own salespeople. Like, consider the last time maybe you went to buy a car. You read up about the cars and about the products and the features, and you got there and you told the salesperson, this is what I want, and you didn't have to wait for him to tell you what was available.
So it's kind of leveled the playing field as far, and does that get into pricing then? So that would be one of the P's that...
Absolutely. That's exactly, my wife and I just bought a minivan, so we have, right. And that's exactly what happened. We showed up on the lot, and I should have done the research, but my wife's that kind of gal. She's on top of it. And she just told the salesman, this is the blue book, this is what's going to happen, this is how much I want to pay for this, and mm-hmm. The guy just kind of stared.
Well, and the retailers that are really wise don't try to compete just on price. Because when you have a customer who knows everything, just saying, okay, fine, I'll cut the price by 30% isn't necessarily what they want to hear. Maybe they want to hear, customers are very individual people and they have different needs. So you have to listen to your customer. Maybe your customer wants an extended warranty. Maybe your customer wants the car that comes in orange. Price is like the last resort. When you see people cutting price, you know that it's a desperate company.
Right. That makes sense.
Well, we've kind of seen that a little bit. Again, using that car commercial or car scenario is, we've seen prices, but, this was a Cash for Clunkers program. I just heard today that, they ran out of money. So it's been a very successful, it kind of gets into economically. There must be a lot of money on the sideline as people they're just waiting for the right opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So sure. And with that particular program, there was an underpinning of, you can look societally conscious, environmentally aware, mm-hmm. So it kind of captured the imagination of the consumer.
Right. Yeah, a very, very popular program. But, talking about branding on a national basis, I know, Dave, on a, local basis, again, in Anchorage, I kind of want to talk about the Internet because that has been right. had such a right. substantial impact on, I believe, on marketing.
Sure. I think what Amanda's saying is really, really true, though, because the Internet is impacting what we call, like, the complete customer experience, The customer experience begins whenever the customer decides to first, look into a product or when he first encounters whatever it is, an ad or a friend says, hey, you got to try this, so they have a need that arises, And like what she's saying is that that customer is very educated and aware ahead of time. And up here in Anchorage, it's really kind of an interesting thing because Alaskans, you know, I think everybody kind of agrees that the advertising up here and the way that kind of marketing works is slightly different. And it's simply because our especially in Anchorage, I mean, we're 350,000, 360,000 people, very isolated in the middle of a wilderness. And so it's a very small town. I mean, you see people, you go, you know, so word of mouth kind of spreads. Internet's a part of that. Facebook is definitely a part of that. MySpace is a part of that. You know, Twitter's a part of that. People use that in what you could actually call an old-fashioned way to communicate with each other, even though they're in the same town. So it's very, I guess the best way to put it is that the internet has created a very kind of a concentrated village effect where, you know, if you lived, you grew up in a small village, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everything about everybody else's business. It's kind of becoming that on a little bit larger scale here.
Well, and, is that good or bad?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that whether it's good or bad is not really what we, as marketing people, and I think Amanda would probably agree with this, is not for us to judge. It's we have to find a way to make it work for our clients. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
you know, in our discussions, you know, kind of our ramp up to the program here, we talked, and I'm going to deviate a little bit, but want to get both of your want to get both of your opinions on this. But you know, you talk about Twitter and Facebook. How do they come into play for a small business person? I mean, is that a tool they can use?
Well, it really depends what you're doing. You know, like, do your customers use Facebook? Do they use Facebook in a way where they want a company to send them messages? So you really have to ask yourself, what do the customers think?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, is that it hasn't really been nailed down yet. You know, people are still, I mean, Facebook themselves are still trying to figure out how to make money. You know, Google owns Facebook now. They're trying to figure out how to make money off of it. Twitter, the same thing. They can't.
Right.
You know, so like when a customer comes to me and says, you know, should we be on Facebook? It's really like, well, let's look at your product. Let's look at what you do, and does it make sense, you know, for you?
So do we really, you know? And again, the piece that you know, I come from the other end of the age scale, and you know, I don't have a Facebook page, and
Sure. Fortunately,
I have the face for radio, so I don't need that. But
the question is, I mean, and I think I'd like to hear Amanda's thought on that. Is it necessary?
Well, is it necessary? But I guess, and what I was getting to is, you know, is it customer-centered? Are your customers tuned in to Facebook? Is that, I mean, is that where we need to really approach this? Or
if your business is like community-oriented, let's say you're a nonprofit organization, Facebook can be a very powerful tool for you to use because people want to feel connected to that community and they want to talk with other people in that community. Or, for instance, there's a local children's bookstore here and they have a very popular Facebook page because people feel an affinity. They feel a relationship with that company. But if you're, you know, Procter & Gamble and you're selling Head & Shoulders, do people feel an affinity with Head & Shoulders?
Right.
Not necessarily.
Right, exactly.
So, but, you know, again, I guess my question is it customer-centered? So even nonprofit...
That's the thing, though, is that, like, and we should make a designation between Twitter and Facebook. They're two different, kind of platforms that are pretty different. But I think exactly what she's saying is that some people, I think Facebook, you know, can actually have an opposite effect. You know, if you are a big old corporate giant and you have a Facebook page, I think some people kind of consider their Facebook, their friends that they have on Facebook, they consider that kind of personal. And they don't want some kind of...
Not necessarily a business alternative.
Exactly, but the example she was using is perfect because, you know, like we have Tidal Wave Bookstore here, and then people are big fans of Tidal Wave. We have the Moose's Tooth, you know, pub. You know, people would love to have the Moose's Tooth pub in their group, you know. And but definitely not like necessarily like Starbucks, you know, or some big corporate giant.
Or IBM, they don't want those.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a stranger coming up to your door and saying, hey, can I come over for dinner?
Right, exactly.
You know?
Or a company, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Your network.
Yeah.
We're going to be taking a short break at this point, but when we return, we're going to continue our discussion of the impact of the Internet on the 4 P's or the classic marketing theories. So, you're listening to KABA, Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM. We're getting down to business. I'm Dave Weatherholt, providing advice you can use.
He was a hard-headed man.
Are you starting a business or thinking about one? Pull up a chair and turn up the volume. It's time for Getting Down to Business with David Weatherholt on Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM, KABA.
Welcome back. This is Dave Weatherholt. We're getting down to business today with Dave Taylor from Sugar Sled Creative. And we have Amanda Cullen is on the line with us from Cincinnati Zoo and a Jungle Marketing. We really have been having a great discussion in our last segment, and we have just kind of winding down here a little bit. Wanted to get both of your opinions on branding and how that fits in with the four Ps and how the Internet and technology have impacted branding.
I think Amanda should probably.
We'll go in alphabetical.
I want to hear what they really. We had said real quick during the break. We had said that Anchorage is a bit behind in this area. And honestly, I mean, I think the advertising industry here can take a little bit of the credit for us being behind. And so I like to hear kind of what is going on in the lower 48 and try and say, okay, well, we're going to catch up.
So you're going to let Amanda.
Yeah, she's going to give me tips now, and I'm going to kind of write it all down, and we're going to go do it.
Yeah, he's got his.
Branding is a fine word for what we do as marketers. However, it's a terrible analogy. I mean, think about it. You know, you've got this big, strong cowboy, right? And he takes this helpless baby calf, and he, you know, burns his imprint on it. So, I mean, do we seriously think that we can do that to our customers? Do we think they're going to let us, you know, like, burn our images on their brain? But, you know, back in the day, that's what people really did think. They thought, you know, if we get enough impressions, if we get enough creative, when we break through the clutter, it's all going to be, you know, it's all going to be gravy. But actually, there's a marketing author named Steve Yastro, and he likes to say that you don't brand your customers, they brand you. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because each customer takes all of their experiences from your company that they have with your company, and they put that together into a brand impression. So instead of thinking about how can we reach the most people with the broadest message, that's, you know, spreading yourself a mile wide and an inch deep, you need to think about how can you reach the customer groups that are most important to you, and what do those customer groups care about? Mm-hmm. Because really they're the people with the power in this relationship. They've got the money, and they can either make or break you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I completely agree. It is about that individual experience, you know, brand. And one thing that's important to designate is that a lot of the agencies and a lot of the people in this town that I think they have a kind of a messed up definition of what branding is. They start talking about branding in terms of their logo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my brand. I mean, I've even heard, you know, one of the larger companies in town here say that, well, that's our branding, when they're referring to the color scheme that they use, the color palette that they use in their advertising. You know, and I'll say, you know, and branding is actually something that's kind of opposite of advertising. A lot of times it's about kind of these vague emotive ideas that are attached to a customer experience and not necessarily mm-hmm. just visual communications or radio or TV ads, you know.
You know, and you're bringing up a point there. And again, I think when you start talking about marketing, you're talking about, you know, how you're going to get your product or service to your customer. And what I'm understanding is, you know, giving them a good experience in addition to maybe your logo. That could be part of branding. Is that, am I?
Well, you know, I mean,
sure. Yeah. People don't care what your logo looks like. They care, you know, how well you deliver on your promises and what promises are you making to them.
But, you know, again, I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes that feeling that you're providing will get attached to your image and, right. You know, whether good or bad, you know, if you
sure.
have, I
sure.
mean, we look at Nordstrom's, I mean, yeah. they really don't have a logo. They just
you know, they've got their text, you know, and that is a logo. I mean, actually, that's actually the definition. Logos mm-hmm. is short, it means logos. It's a Greek word for word. It actually means word in Greek. And so, like, when you look at a symbol, and, you know, we always use, like, the Nike swoosh, but one really great example of a logo kind of and how to begin that branding process and was starting with a logo design was when BP, you know, which is a, you know, of course a huge company up here in Alaska, they did their rebranding.
Pretty big in England too, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, British, but well, you know, it's a huge influence here, but British Petroleum, when they rebranded, remember they used to have the green shield, with the big capital gold BPs, and when they went to their little sunburst flower with all these spring greens and a little lowercase BP kind of tucked off to the right, they were basically beginning that process of saying, "Oh, it's, you know, it's all about the sunburst. It's not about BP. It's all, you know, it's, we're in this
so,
environment."
But they're creating an experience or a feeling,
and it begins with that.
Or,
sure,
right.
It definitely begins with that. But Amanda was exactly right when she said that your customers really, you know, in the end, they don't really care about your logo. They're going to attach their positive or negative feeling to your logo according to their experience with your company and your product.
Mm-hmm. And well, and that being said, it is important to have some kind of visual clue that people can associate their feelings with. Like the Apple brand, for instance, you know, people put the Apple sticker all over the place on their cars and their shirts and their, you know.
Is that what I need to do with those stickers?
Yeah. You know, put your feelings somewhere.
Put on your forehead. No, that's exactly
right.
They see that all the, when you buy a new Mac or you buy an iPhone or something like that, they give you those Apple stickers. The reason they do that is because they're saying, "Hey, you're in our club now. You're in our tribe, you know, you're going to be a part of our group." And that's part of the cool factor of Apple products is that you get to go, "Oh, cool, you know, I'm going to stick this on my bike helmet and I'm in the group." That's brilliant. Brilliant. So.
I don't know. Maybe BP is more successful in Alaska than it is here in the Midwest.
Well, they need to be, yeah. That's the interesting thing.
Their rebranding effort didn't do anything here. They had all these wild bean cafes, and now they're all gone.
Here BP really had to, they have to make huge impressions in the community because they're such a huge employer here, and because they're, you know, up on the North Slope, they're sucking oil out of the ground, and they have to appear to be doing it environmentally friendly. So their branding efforts here are really, really important.
So, yeah, they're
understand.
They're a good neighbor.
Exactly. And they work very hard to appear so. You know?
Right. A lot of community support.
Yeah.
We're going to be, you know, again, this has been I've enjoyed this conversation. You know, I hope you as listeners are getting as much out of it as we're enjoying giving it to you. But we're going to be taking our final break here. Appreciate having Amanda with us. You're listening to KABA, Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM. We're getting down to business, and I'm Dave Weatherholt, providing advice you can use.
Small business built this country, and Dave's here to help you build yours. Get ready, because we are getting down to business on Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM, KABA.
Welcome back. This is Dave Weatherholt. We're getting down to business. Today we've had what I consider a very informative and fascinating, I guess would be a good word, discussion on marketing, starting out with the classic definition of marketing, what we call the four P's of marketing, which are product, price, place, and promotion. The Internet has, added a new dimension to the four P's. Actually, I believe the Internet has had a very, very positive impact on marketing. It's, opened up a whole new world of creativity and connectivity, and sometimes it becomes overwhelming, especially as a small business person. You know, we're out here trying to run our business, and we don't have time to keep up on all the latest technology and so forth. So it's again part of what we're trying to do with this program is pique your interest, maybe give you some directions. You can go to Dave Taylor at Sugar Sled Creative. Dave, how can we reach you?
You can go to sugarsled.com and there's a contact page there. That's the easiest way. Email will come right to me and I'll call you within 15 minutes.
All right. And then Amanda Cullen, how can we get in touch with you, Amanda?
Oh, very similarly, zooinajungle.com has my contact information, or my email address is just amanda@zooinajungle.com.
And again, these guests are here to help you with your small business decisions. Again, Amanda specializes in marketing for small businesses. And, you know, again, Dave is starting out as a small business, so he's, you know, he's in the same position that you are. and again, they have some expertise that really, I think, you know, is invaluable and can help a small business person make it through the all the choices that are now available. You know, again, I mention this in every program because the bottom line at the end of the day is how much money you have in your pocket after you've ended your day. You know, so we want to buy low, sell high. Buy low meaning that our costs are lower than our selling price. And then the difference is what we call in this capitalistic world profit, and that's the reason we're in business. Everybody needs to make a profit. Next week, we're going to be talking about advertising and promotion, so we're going to get into some of the advertising ideas. And, you know, again, I thank Dave and Amanda for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. And for other information, go to waconsult.com. That's my website. You can get download podcasts to Getting Down to Business, sign up for our newsletter, Business News and Views. Or check out our blog. Let me know what you think of our program and if you have any ideas for upcoming programs. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate you joining us. You've been listening to KABA, Alaska's Business Authority, 87.7 FM.